I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi-yo. Welcome to Kiwi's Birth Tales. My brother name is Ollie and I'm Die Boy. Thank you for listening from Mommy's podcast. See you later.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. If you have been hanging out for the latest episode, thank you for sticking with me. That is the longest break I've taken from the podcast and it's been needed. But I am back and I'm so excited to be back recording episodes and releasing them for you. This one is such a lovely one with Charlotte. She talks us through her four babies. So she's got two that were singleton pregnancies, who are Boston and Goldie, and then a twin pregnancy with Teddy and Tulip. All of her births are super positive and it's just such a lovely story. So I know you're going to enjoy it. If you have stuck around and you've been hanging out for this episode, I'm so grateful that you've managed to come back and find me, and I'll be back into the regular swing of things now. A reminder, if you are pregnant, make sure you go and check out Your Birth Project. It's the online hypnobirthing course you need to help you create your best birth, and I have designed it with all of the mums I've had on the podcast and their birth stories in mind, so I hope that you really love it. If you want to find me, you can do so at KiwiBirthTales on Instagram or Jordan@KiwiBirthTales.com on email. Okay, we're going to jump into this lovely episode. I hope you enjoy it and make sure you send me a message afterwards if you do. Hi Charlotte, thanks so much for joining me on the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to share my stories.
I can't wait to hear all about it, but do you want to start with a little bit about you and who is in your family?
Yep, sure. So I'm Charlotte. I'm a stay-at-home mum. I'm married to Harrison and we have four kids. We have Boston, who's six, Goldie, who is three, and then we have our twins, Teddy and Tulip, who are about 7 weeks old.
I love all of their names. So cute. Yeah, amazing. And whereabouts in New Zealand do you guys live?
We're just in Auckland at the moment.
Yeah, awesome. Very cool. And take us through the journey to pregnancy the first time for you guys. So what did that look like with Boston?
Sure. So yeah, with Boston, basically as soon as we got married, I was like, so should we start trying the kids? And Harry was just like, should we just, you know, settle into marriage first, just enjoy it two for a while? And I was like, I really wanted to have kids straight away, but you know, like I couldn't force him. So he wanted to wait at least 2 years. And when that 2-year mark came around, I was like, so you're ready? Let's do this. And he was like, yes, I am ready, but could we wait a little bit longer? And I was like, look, it's going to take up to a year for us to get pregnant. And then, you know, 9 months of growing the baby. So we may as well start trying and see what happens. And he was like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. And then the classic 1 month later, we got a positive pregnancy test. Pregnant. So yeah, that was basically the journey. Pretty lucky to get pregnant first pop.
Yeah, yeah, amazing. And were you shocked? Like when you saw the positive pregnancy test, how were you feeling?
Just so excited. I took it first day of my missed period, just could not wait to test. And yeah, when the two lights I just had the biggest smile on my face. I did it at work in like our work toilets, so I couldn't even wait until I got home. And then I rang Harry and I was like, you're gonna be a dad, and he was like, you just waited until I was there, and I was like, nah, I'm too excited.
Amazing. Awesome, cool. And how were you feeling in your pregnancy? Like, talk us through the first trimester, and did you have many pregnancy symptoms the first time around?
Yeah, Boston was a really easy pregnancy. First trimester, like, I felt kind of, nauseous or hungover after I had naps, but honestly, that was pretty much it. I had a really good first trimester. I think I vomited once, so yeah. Everything was pretty straightforward.
Amazing. And did you have a midwife?
Yes. Yep. So I contacted just like a local midwifery place and got a midwife called Helena. And we went from there.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And what about the testing in your pregnancy? Did you do all of the testing that's offered to you in New Zealand?
Yes. So we just did kind of like the standard blood tests and ultrasounds for it's trisomy 21. Yeah. But we didn't do any of the extra testing.
Awesome. Cool. And did you have like many thoughts around a birth plan, how you wanted your birth to go? Did you do any antenatal classes or anything like that in your first pregnancy?
Yes. So I knew straight away I didn't want to birth in hospital. I don't even know why. I've always just been, it's just a place I didn't want to birth. I had never really been in hospital, and I just, for me, it was like, that's where sick people go. That's not where I want to birth. And I was born in at Warkworth Birth Centre, and that was where my midwife was could birth, you know. So I was like, I think, yeah, I don't know much about it, but that's where I feel like I want to birth. And so my midwife was like, are you sure most first mums want to birth in hospital? And I was like, yeah, absolutely, it feels right. And so she was like, cool, let's do it. She was really supportive, and yeah, that was basically the plan. I didn't really have a birth plan because she told me, like, look, what's going to happen is going to happen, and we just roll with it. And so, yeah, I was sweet with that. And so I did antenatal classes and just a general, like, community one, and that was really good. I think the best thing I got out of it was the community of mums. That was great in terms of like 2 a.m. chats, and we're all breastfeeding, and like if anything was wrong, the babies were like, does your baby do this, you know, and we all reassured them.
Yeah, I love that. You've got to have a good group chat, I reckon, when you're a mum. It's like essential to surviving.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. And how were you feeling towards the end of your pregnancy, sort of coming up to potentially going into labour? Did you have many aches and pains at the end of that pregnancy? And yeah, talk us through how you were feeling.
So yeah, the rest of the pregnancy was really straightforward. Didn't have any pains or complications. Yeah, everything was good, but I did go past 40 weeks, and that week was just like the worst week of my life. I just was, I hated it. I was in so much like not, I wasn't in pain, but there's so much discomfort, and I just thought that pregnancy was never going to end. And so most days I was in tears, just like, when is this going to happen? But that's it. It was pretty straightforward.
Yeah, awesome. And did you know that you were having a boy, or did you get the sex as a surprise?
No, yeah, we found out at 20 weeks. We could not keep that a surprise.
Yeah, awesome. And had you picked out his name before he was born?
Yep. Yep. So Boston, it was the first name we agreed on, that classic thing where, yeah, we argued about lots of different names, and then Boston just felt kind of right. It's so funny. I don't even really love that name, but it was just the first name we really agreed on. And so we're like, yeah, let's lock it. So yeah, that's how Boston came to be.
Yeah, it's so hard naming kids. Like, you have these ideas of like these really amazing names, and then your partner's like, no.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah, agreeing. And then naming boys as well, I found way harder than naming our girl. But
Awesome. Cool. And talk us through the end of your pregnancy. Did you go into spontaneous labor? How far along were you? And then into your labor and birth story.
Cool. So 41 weeks on the dot, like on the day, when I went into labor. So it was a Friday night, and I had my brothers and sisters over. With Harry was there obviously too, and we were just playing Monopoly Deal, having a good night, had Thai for dinner. During like Monopoly Deal, I started to have contractions, and they progressively got worse, and so it got to a point where I was just like, all right, you guys all have to go home now. They all left, and we started like timing contractions on an app, which was really useless. It got to the point where I was like, go straight to hospital. And so we rang the midwife and we're like, hey, like the app is, I rang her and I was like, the app is telling us to go to hospital. And she was like, you sound like you're absolutely fine through these contractions. Like, ring me in a few hours. And so she was absolutely right. As time went on, it got to the point where, you know, I couldn't talk through a contraction. They were really painful. So Harry rang her and she came over. I think she probably came over at about 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. to check me. And she was like, okay, you're 8 centimeters dilated. We've got to go straight to the center. I know, because I was like, oh, I hope that I'm not wasting your time. Like, I hope I'm at least like 4 centimeters. But
yeah,
well on our way. So we jumped in the car and drove up there, which was reasonably smooth. I did have to stop to vomit and then I peed my pants at the same time, which we thought maybe was the waters breaking, but it turns out no, it was definitely Wes. But yeah, so we got there at maybe like, I can't remember. It was probably like 6 a.m. when we got there, or earlier, 5 a.m. And yeah, it was all pretty straightforward. The bath, the pool was ready for me to jump in because I wanted to have a water birth. And it was amazing when I got in, but then I felt really nauseous. I vomited, got straight back out, did not want to get back in there. And yeah, just kind of labored for the rest of the time. The midwife pretty much left us to it. She would kind of tell Harry, coach Harry through what he needed to tell me, which was, I don't know, just like through contractions and stuff. And then, yeah, she would just come in every once in a while, check the heartbeat, and everything was going fine. She told me when I was 10 centimetres and that I could start pushing when I wanted. And then at some point she came in and she checked his heart rate and she was like, oh, to be honest, his heart rate has dipped a little bit. I'd much rather just break your waters and try to get him out now. So I think that had been like 2 hours of me being 10 centimetres dilated. And so I got on the bed, she broke my waters, and then I think like 3 pushes later, Boston was born. And yeah, that was one of the best days of my life. Like the other births, getting married to Harry was great, but I was just so proud. And all my family and all Harry's family were waiting in the waiting room, like when I was in labor, like everyone was just so excited. And as soon as he was, you know, had all his checks and stuff and was dressed and back with me, then that's when my family started rolling in to meet him. And I was just so proud. It was just hands down best of my life. So yeah, it was such a good birth. I loved it.
Yeah, amazing. And like pretty quick for a first birth, right?
Yeah, I think all our active labor was about 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, so yeah, it was good. Cool.
Yeah, amazing. And did they pop him up onto your chest and what sort of happened from there?
Yeah, so he came straight on my chest and I got to breastfeed and then they kind of stitched. I had to have a few stitches, so they did that, which was so painful. That was like, looking back on it, I'm like, that was more painful than the birth, I swear. That was horrible. I was swearing. But it was, everything was good. He was healthy and happy and
amazing. Cool. And how were you feeling like physically after the birth? Did you manage to get up and have a shower? And what were the sort of physical feelings that you were having after birth?
Yeah, I do remember. So I had a shower and I do remember feeling really lightheaded and I had to like sit down in the shower for a few minutes. But apart from that, everything was sweet. And I was, I was up and walking around and I healed really fast. And we stayed a few days at birth centre. I was up and about.
Awesome. Cool. And how did you feel taking Boston home? What was it like as a first time mum adjusting to life with your baby?
Yeah, it was good. Harry and I are pretty adaptable people. So we got into the swing of things pretty well. We actually, before we even went home, we went to our local cafe because I was just like, I haven't had their coffee in a few days, and also I wanted like one of their ham and egg sandwiches, which I was so stupid but I couldn't eat in pregnancy, so I was like, just take me there. So and then everything from what I remember was pretty good. My sister has had already had two babies and we're so close. So it was always around her and her babies and her experience. And actually she had a really, really hard experience. And so for me, I just expected that was going to be the same. And it wasn't. So it was, I was pleasantly surprised and it was much easier than I thought it was going to be. So that was good. So the transition was good.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And how did you go with learning to breastfeed? Was that something that you wanted to do? And what was your experience like with that?
Yeah, definitely wanted to breastfeed and it was really good. He just pretty much latched straight away. Learning, what position to hold him in on both breasts, I remember, was quite awkward at the start, but the midwives at the birth centre were amazing and they just really helped whenever I needed it. So, it was a really good journey and I had a really good milk supply and we just basically had a really easy time. I was really lucky.
Awesome. And how did you and Harry go adjusting to, like, obviously the huge change in your relationship? And did you do anything in particular that you found made it easier? Or, like, how did you sort of share the load of having a new baby?
My gosh, I have to think back. It's like nearly 7 years. We did pretty well. I remember Harry feeling kind of helpless a lot of the time because obviously Boston wanted to be on me and I fed him all the time. And he was amazing. He would do everything else outside of feeding, like keep the house clean and cooking for us. And yes, that was really good. But I do remember, he struggled a bit with suddenly there wasn't as much time for me and him. I think we just kind of remember we just tried to make time for us.
Cool. And obviously he got a little bit older and you guys have more kids now, so talk us through, did you decide that you wanted to have more babies? Did you always want more than one? What did the journey to your second pregnancy look like?
Yes, so I loved motherhood just so much. I wanted to have our second baby pretty much straight away. I was like, so Harry, honestly, like 6 weeks later, I was like, when should we start trying? And once again, he was like, can we please just like enjoy Boston and, like enjoy our time as a new little family and transition first rather than just getting straight into that. And so I was like, all right, I see your point of view. And I think, every month I secretly was hoping that I was pregnant. But it wasn't until maybe when Boston was about one that he was actually like, okay, like I think it would be cool to start trying. And so we did actively start, but we didn't get pregnant straight away this time. It took us about 9 months to get pregnant with Goldie.
Yeah.
Which was really hard. I hated every month having those tests and they were negative. It's just so hard. But we were looking back on it, it was actually a really cool time. So we ended up getting pregnant with Goldie when Boston was two. So we did those first 2 years to just really get to know him and do some cool things with him. Like we moved to Bali and lived there for 6 months. And then when we got home, after that big adventure, that's when I fell pregnant with Goldie, which was cool.
That's amazing. And how were you feeling in your second pregnancy? Obviously it's a bit different when you've got a toddler running around, so how did you find that?
That was really hard. I was so tired in her first trimester was harder. I was feeling a lot more sick, a lot more tired, and he was so active. So that was about the time when screens were introduced, to be honest, and he started watching a lot of Paw Patrol. But
love Paw Patrol.
It was definitely harder, but pretty good the first trimester.
Awesome. Cool. And did you have the same midwife or did you go with a different midwife this time?
Yeah, had same midwife again, which is cool. We love her.
Amazing. Awesome. And did you do all of the standard testing again? Did you find out the sex in this pregnancy too?
Yeah. So everything was pretty much very similar to Boston's pregnancy in terms of we did, how it rolled out. We found out at 20 weeks we're having a girl. We did all the standard testing again, but we didn't do any extra testing.
Awesome. And how did you come up with her name?
It was just a name we both loved. I actually really wanted Peaches for her, but I couldn't get the line. Everyone was like, no, it reminds me of oranges and cream, that, you know, the sex shop. And so, yeah, boy, just, I couldn't get that one. So yeah, Goldie was the best option, and I really love Goldie too. So we rolled with that.
Yeah. Awesome. Amazing. And did you want a similar kind of birth? Like, I know you said you loved your first birth experience. So how were you feeling about birth the second time around?
Yes, I did want basically the same birth, which I know you can never have control over that. But so the plan was to go back to the same birth centre. Obviously, we had the same midwife. And yeah, I just hoped that everything was going to be exactly the same.
Yeah. And did you do any like antenatal or anything this time around?
No, didn't do anything.
No. Yeah, cool. And did you still have the same like mum friends that you'd get from your previous antenatal class?
Yeah, a few of them were still in contact. Yeah, which was nice.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. And talk us through the end of this pregnancy. How are you feeling? And yeah, into your labour and birth story with Goldie.
So her third trimester was a lot harder. I vomited a few times a week, which I know is not that extreme, but for me, I was like, what's going on? I think I just was like, so everything was so squished, and I would eat and I just wouldn't. So I wasn't feeling nauseous, but it was just, I couldn't get the food processing fast enough. And so like I would cough or something and literally the food would come back up. So it was pretty intense. But apart from that, yeah, everything was really straightforward. So Goldie was, I went into labor again, 41 weeks, and actually had Ty that night as well. So I don't know if Ty is a thing that gets me trying, but so obviously I started labor at home, and throughout my whole pregnancy, my midwife was kind of hinting at me to try a home birth because she's just loves them. And I was always like, no, I just love my experience. I'm happy as to go to home, birth center again. But on the night, I think it got to like 2 a.m. or something, and it was time to ring the midwife. And I was like, oh, Harry, like, should we just stay home? Like, I actually just don't know if I can be bothered to drive up to the birth center. And Harry was like, okay, yeah, like if you want to and you feel good with that. And I was like, yeah, I think I would, yeah, want to try home birth. And so we rang her, the midwife, Helena, and I was like, I can't remember if it was me or Harry, but anyway, we were like, cool, so we've decided to stay at home. Like, are you all good with that? She's like, yes, absolutely, I'm on my way, I've got everything with me. So that was really cool that she was just so supportive of that, and like last weekend. And so, yeah, we lived with Harry's parents at the time in this big, beautiful house, and we had the upstairs. And the midwife came, and I think I was about 6 centimetres dilated. And so I messaged my sisters because they were going to come. So they came, and then I said to Harry, hey, go invite your mum if she wants to come up. So she came up, and then we had... Yeah, so obviously the midwife, the backup midwife, and a student midwife. So there was a lot of people in the room, but that was fine. So I was like just in my own world during labor, so I didn't even notice. And yeah, everything was just really straightforward. I just kept laboring. And yeah, honestly, it was just, I don't know. We got to, I think I was on the toilet, and she was like, oh, I can see a head. And so we went out, and I just, yeah, pushed her out. And then she was tiny. She was 2.6 kgs, but she was a week late. So she was like premature size. So we're not too sure what happened there. And I think she's just a little human. She's really petite and she's tall, but everyone was like, what happened? And then... yeah, she got put on my chest. We had a breastfeed. They checked her over. She was totally fine, even though she was so small. And yeah, it was beautiful. I loved it. It was another amazing birth. And from then on, I was like, home birth all the way. Like, I loved it so much. I got to hop in the shower and then just jump back into my own bed. And then, like, breakfast was being cooked downstairs for us. It was just such an amazing. So really loved that birth as well.
Yeah, amazing. And did you need any stitches or anything after this birth?
No, I didn't. I think it was like a graze or something, that I didn't need a stitch.
Awesome. Amazing. And what sort of happened next? Like, I know you obviously had breakfast cooking downstairs and you just got to stay at home. So talk us through, yeah, that day with Goldie at home. And did you have Boston there too? What did that all look like?
Yep, so Boston came up shortly afterwards and met her, and that was amazing. That was the other cool thing about being at home. It's just like we could all be together. And then I had actually decided that I would go up to birth center still, and so my midwife was able to get me a room, which was cool. Just because, yeah, once again, that experience last time we got so well looked after, I just wanted to experience that again. But in hindsight, actually, I really just missed Boston the whole time I was there. So I think if I could go back, I probably just would have stayed at home, because living with Harry's parents, I would have got just as well looked after. But yeah.
Awesome. And how did you find like breastfeeding and adjusting to life as a mum with two?
Yeah, breastfeeding, once again, really lucky. It was really easy. She latched straight away and just, yeah, was, we obviously they were concerned about her being so little, but she just kept putting on weight. So that was fine. So yeah, she was breastfeeding well and taking it all in. And then yeah, we were lucky, like I said, we lived with Harry's parents, so it was a really good transition, because they helped look after Boston lots and they cooked us lots of meals. And yeah, so that was a really good start to life with two kids. We were really, really lucky.
Amazing.
That was great.
Cool. And did you have many like scans or anything in your pregnancy? Like, I know you said that they were surprised that she was quite small. So did you have any scans post 20 weeks?
No, I didn't. So at 20 weeks, she was obviously looking like, you know, a healthy size. And then I think because she was really long, so I think maybe midwife appointments, and she kind of was feeling my stomach. Maybe she, yeah, just could feel that she felt like the right size, but just wasn't. But it's actually good in hindsight, because I think if they had picked up on that, they would have induced me way earlier.
Yeah, amazing. Cool. And obviously, I follow you on Instagram, so I know that you've got twins now as well in the mix. So, do you want to
Yeah.
talk us through, your next sort of stage and journey? And did you always want to have another baby? And what did that look like for you and Harry?
Yeah, so Harry, after our second kid, he was pretty adamant that he didn't want a third. Like, he was like, no, we're absolutely done. Oh, this was, I mean, this was always, he always wanted two kids, but by the time Goldie was about two, you know, he was like, we are through the baby stage. We can move on with our lives, travel easier. We've got two really healthy kids. Like, we've just got it really good. He was not having a bar of me wanting any more. Because I always thought to have a third, but I could also see it from his point of view. Like, we had just moved to Bali again, where we and we wanted to travel a lot. And as Goldie was nearly three, it was really nice being out of the baby zone. So I was actually happy to let go of number three and move on. However, I always had, it's hard to explain, but I always just had this deep sense that our family wasn't finished yet. So at this stage, I just surrendered to the fact that if it was meant to be, then it was going to happen. But I wasn't going to keep pushing for us to actively try for a third baby, because I knew he didn't want a third baby. So, yeah, that's kind of, yeah, that. But last year, we moved to Bali, and we'd started setting up our dream life over there, because we wanted to spend a majority of the year in Bali and travel from there, and then spend our summers in New Zealand. So that was, yeah, what we were over there doing, setting up. And we did it. We were on working visas. We had two like long-term villas on the go. We had one on Airbnb. The kids were in school over there, and we were so happy. We loved our Bali life. And then in August last year, I was late for my period, which was weird, because I was always clockwork. I was always bang on time every month. So I was just like, surely I'm not pregnant. And I told Harry that I was late, but I kept saying, my period will come. I'm sure it will come. Also, a part of me didn't want to just test in case it was negative, which is a real weird, because I think I would have been gutted if I had got a negative. But I think, because I like, after having all the negatives from Goldie's pregnancy, it was just like that yuck feeling. We just really didn't want to get a negative, because I did kind of want to third, but then I'd also process not having a third child. So it would be weird to be, I don't know, it was just a real confusing few days. So I just put it out of my mind. But by day four, I was like, well, I should probably test. And it was positive. And it was a really just, yeah, unreal feeling, especially because Harry was surprisingly really excited about it, which was the buzziest part. Because apparently he used my phone in the middle of the night to check the time or something, and he saw a message from my older sister saying, oh, you need to take a test, because I'd been telling her I'm like 4 days late, just like, you need to take a test. Saw that, and he spent the next 2 hours like pacing the living area of our villa just in shock, and then he just started processing the whole situation, and he got to this place where he was really excited, and he was like, which was great, because if he had been really down about it, then I just would have been like, I don't know, like, how are we going to do this? But he was like, you know, we live in Bali, we love it here, we can afford the help we need. So yeah, both of us got really excited. And I always loved the idea of home birthing in Bali as well. Like, there's just such a magical vibe there, and I just would have loved to home birth there. So yeah.
Amazing. And how were you feeling, like, in the start of this pregnancy? Was it much different to your other two?
No, it wasn't. It was similar to Boston's, where I just, yeah, like after a nap or something, I'd feel quite nauseous or a bit hungover, a bit seedy, but nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
For me. Yeah.
Awesome. And talk us through what sort of happened next. How did you go in terms of finding, like, care while you were in Bali? And yeah, what did that look like?
Yeah, so we booked in a 6-week scan at a hospital in Bali, and on that day the whole family came. So everything was going along really like normally in the scan, and then the doctor casually asks me if I have a history of twins in the family, and I was just like, nah, didn't think anything of it. And then suddenly I clicked, and I was like, wait, why would you ask me that? And he was like, there's two babies in here. And I was like, no. Absolutely, that is not true, like, you are lying to me. And he was like, no, like, here's twin one, here's twin two, there's two sex. I was like, no, that is not true, it's not possible. And and Harry's like, yeah, no, I think there's two babies, Charlotte. And it was so shocking, like, never in my wildest dreams would I have ever considered twins for us. I can't even remember the rest of the appointment after that, but I do remember Boston coming up to my side. It was so sweet. He goes, Mum, I'm more excited about the twins than I am about watching a show this afternoon. So that was very cute. But yeah, times to find that out.
Yes. Yeah. And were you just like, how do you process that? Because I just honestly, Charlotte, I cannot imagine like going to a scan and them saying there's twins, like you're having two babies. So yeah, how did you process that feeling?
So shocking. So what actually happened was during the scan, he was like, oh, I think from what I can see, one of the placentas hasn't attached properly. And so I want you to go straight on bed rest. And generally this, I can't remember what he diagnosed me with officially, but he said that it usually resolves itself if you just go bed rest, just fully rest. So I did that straight away. So that was my processing time. And I am going to be honest. I went to some pretty heavy places. Like, I just can't get my head around it. The fact that pregnancy was a surprise, which we obviously hadn't had a surprise pregnancy before. I just having a baby, and then now I'm having two babies. It was just like, it was so heavy. And yeah, but apart from that, once I'd grieved a bit, I think the biggest shock for me was like, having to go to a hospital to birth, and the chance of having a C-section, like, that just freaked me out. And then just having two babies, oh my gosh, it was so full on. So yeah, I did a lot of processing in that month. And then once it came around, we kind of started to get excited. It took us a few months together processing for us to get excited.
For sure. And how did you think, like, how did Harry work through it in terms of, like, you know, he sort of felt really done, and maybe that was a little bit different to how you were feeling. So how did he process the fact that you were having twins?
Yeah, it was so interesting, because once again, he was just really okay about it. He was like, you know, obviously it's going to be full on, but it's so crazy. We're having two babies, and that's so exciting. Like, he was really sweet for it. So that once again, that really reassured me, like, because he was, really confident about it. Then it just really helped me to process better. So that was good. But yeah, really surprising once again that he was just all about it.
Yeah. It sounds like he's like the type of guy that once something's happening and in motion, he's sort of like quite adaptable to it.
Yeah, he actually is. So that's good. Yeah, cool.
And how, like, in terms of your pregnancy progressing and moving back to New Zealand, I assume, like, what did that all look like for you, and how did you go finding a midwife here? And yeah, talk us through that.
Yes. So we got back to New Zealand at around 14 weeks pregnant, and so obviously that's trimester two, and that was great. Babies were going well, both at the same rate. I had that second trimester energy, and everything was third trimester was harder, as obviously everything inside started to squish up and I got bigger and heavy. But I was really lucky. I didn't have any major aches or pains. Like, everything was going pretty sweet in terms of my body. And the twins.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Still, they were doing really well up to about 32 weeks when at one of the scans they noticed that Teddy's stomach had dropped slightly in percentiles. And apparently that's how they also measure all the organs surrounding. So it can be quite concerning. But they just wanted to keep an eye on that from that point. And I was... having fortnightly scans, and also around 32 weeks, they found in Teddy's brain an enlarged ventricle, which I don't fully understand, but from what we've researched and what we know now, there are four ventricles in the brain, and they're responsible for keeping the fluids in the brain sort of flowing. And if one's enlarged, it can mean that there's a buildup of fluid. And then that, depending on how enlarged it's got, that can cause ongoing complications like developmental delays, seizures, and in really extreme cases, enlarged heads. But also, they told us, it can be totally normal, especially for a boy, and if it's found later on in pregnancy, and if it's isolated, as in if everything else in his brain looks normal, which Teddy's brain did, so that was good signs, but they wanted us to go and have a scan with fetal medicine. So we booked that in. But before that, because we had to wait another sort of like 2 or 3 weeks before we could have that, we had another routine scan, and they found that the ventricle had enlarged even more, which started to be quite concerning for us. So we went and had this scan at fetal medicine, and they said that, it was really surprising. They were like, the ventricle is not enlarged at all. It's totally within normal range. It was just so bizarre. So they told us they either have mismeasured it, or that Teddy's brain has just sort of, it's sorted itself out, which was great news. But then they told us, when he's born, go get an ultrasound done through his fontanelle just to rule everything out, like if you want to do that. And we did that because we were in hospital anyway, and they were still a little bit concerned that there was something abnormal. So they wanted us to do an MRI, which we did book in, and we did probably about 2 weeks ago now, and everything came back totally clear and nothing at all wrong with his brain. But oh my goodness, such an emotional roller coaster. And although we tried not to worry us or like rob us of enjoying the rest of the pregnancy or his newborn days, like we just really told ourselves that we will be worried if a doctor sits us down and tells us that we should be worried. So but, you know, to always have that sitting in the back of your mind was pretty frustrating. But anyway, it was all good news, and he's totally fine, thank goodness.
Yeah, Yeah, amazing. That is frustrating though. Like, definitely puts a different perspective in your pregnancy, even if you're trying like really hard not to think about it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Cool. And I know that you've been sort of like, you've talked in your story so far about not really wanting to give birth in hospital, or like feeling more comfortable not birthing in hospital because you were having twins. Was there a requirement like from your midwife that that was what she wanted you to do? Was that part of your birth plan? Talk us through your thoughts on how you wanted your birth to go with the twins.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, I, much to everyone's horror, I really wanted to have a home birth again because I was like, this is my last pregnancy. I loved my last home birth, and I just think it's possible. I know there's like higher risks with twins around, you know, premature labor and things going wrong, which I'll talk about a bit later, but yeah, that's really what I wanted to do. I found my midwife who was really happy to do it as long as everything lined up in terms of the twins' health, and I had to make it to 37 weeks, so that was sort of the plan. However, with twins in a hospital, it is absolutely like a no. They just are like, absolutely not. We don't recommend that at all. Hospitals do have their really set ways of birthing twins. And so basically, every time I went to an OB appointment, I didn't tell them about my home birth plans, and I just really hoped that I was going to go into labor naturally. And we could go forth with our plans. So they kind of, they would tell me what they recommended. And it was like really strong recommendations. It was basically like, this is what's going to happen. And I just sort of went along with them, obviously taking in all the information in case that I did need to go to hospital, because I was at the same time very aware that it was very likely that I would go to hospital. And so, yeah, there were just certain things that I definitely knew that if I went to hospital, I didn't want. It was like, they want you to have an epidural straight away, like basically as soon as you are in labor. And it is obviously there for pain reasons. But the reason they want you to do it is because the risk of you having a C-section is so much higher. And with the second twin, because what happens is with twins is once you've birthed the first vaginally, they're, if that's what you're doing, then there's so much more space for the second twin all of a sudden, and they can flip breech, or they can flip transverse, which means they'll cross your stomach. And then from the doctor's point of view, then there's lots of complications that could then happen. They can go into distress, contractions can stop, your cervix can start closing up again. And then it's, from there, it's obviously emergency C-section or straight into C-section. And they feel like if you don't have the epidural straight away, there won't be enough time to give you one, and then you'll be put straight under GA, which means you don't get to meet your baby as soon as it's born. So that's their thinking. But for me, I have never had an epidural, wasn't interested, and so I really had to push when I was, well, no, sorry, I didn't have to push. I just had to be a strong advocate for myself in hospital to say that's not what I want. Also, what happens once you've given birth to the first twin is a whole team of doctors run in, literally, like they run into the room and they just start working out where the second twin's at. And they determine whether or not you need a C-section or you can continue with birthing vaginally with the second twin. And for me, that's also not what I wanted. I really wanted some time before that happened to let the second twin, if the second twin wasn't in distress and they had flipped like transverse or breech or whatever, then I really wanted at least half an hour to let the second twin, who was Tulip in our case, I really wanted Tulip to, just to have some time to flip back around or just see what was going to happen before we just made that call straight away on the C-section. If she was breech, I was totally willing to birth breech. So that was kind of my thinking. Ideally, I wanted the home birth, but I had those certain things that I wanted in labor if I was at hospital.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. And how were you feeling towards the end of your pregnancy? Talk us through, the sort of later stage of your third trimester and carrying twins. Like, oh my gosh, I just can't even imagine. carrying one baby was always bad enough for me. But talk us through the end stage of your pregnancy.
Oh, wild. And I look back and I just can't even believe that I've been through a twin pregnancy. It's just
yes.
But yeah. It just went so fast. But yeah, like I said, like I never had any major pains or aches. I was really, really lucky. It was I carried them really well, and I don't know why that was. Yeah. But and also I think because I birthed at 36 weeks, I think not having that last like 4 or 5 weeks where it just stretches out, I think that really helped me to not get to a point of just like, I'm so over this.
Yeah. But,
yeah, what happened was at 36 weeks, Teddy's stomach, and actually Tulip's stomach as well, they said, had dropped to the first percentile. And so that for them was just really concerning. And also Teddy's fluid levels, they thought had dipped quite a bit. And so, yeah, at that point, the OB that I saw was just like, we want to get the twins out as soon as possible. And in my mind, I was like, oh, yeah, maybe like another week and we'll see what happens. But they were like, no, the next 48 hours, we'll have the twins out. And I was like, what? Mm. Like that. I was just not. It was just so, And also my gut feel was that it kind of seemed a little bit like over the top. That's just my gut feel. And I was like, surely we can just monitor closely for the next wee while just to see what happens. And you know, I was so close to 37 weeks and having my home birth. So I was like, can we just, you know, keep them in? But it's really hard being the primary decision maker of a baby's well-being. But I spoke to my midwife, who is obviously was a home birth advocate. And she was like, actually, you should go ahead with what they're recommending with an induction. Because at this point, it would be too risky to do a home birth, because those signs, like the things that they said were happening, were signs of a placenta starting to fail. And so she didn't feel comfortable doing a home birth. So I was kind of like, okay, well, we may as well just get them out. And Harry was on board with that as well. So we booked an induction in for 2 days later. I hadn't even packed a hospital bag yet. So that's what the next 2 days was all about, just getting ready for that. And I was very nervous because it was everything that I didn't want in a birth, you know, having an induction. But I knew that I just had to be very adaptable and embrace it all.
With you being anxious about like the induction and hospital births, and I know you sort of said that you're just trying to get on with it and you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Was there anything that you did to try and like inform yourself more about inductions or about birthing in hospital? Or did you feel like it was just going to be what it would be and you were okay with that?
Yeah, I didn't do any more research. I mean, like the OBs had given me, leading up to it, they'd given me a really sort of like detailed description of what the process would be if I was induced. So that was good. But I'm a pretty adaptable person. So I kind of just went into it. There were a few things that ended up like in hindsight, I was like, oh, I was pretty naive about that. But yeah, I'm pretty adaptable at the end of the day. So I was just like, let's just do it. We'll just go in and I'll just see what happens.
Awesome. And talk us through how it went. So what was the process for your induction? And then, yeah, into your labour and birth story.
Cool. So it was a Thursday morning that we had it booked. So Harry and I went in and I had pretty much straight away they inserted a balloon catheter, which was going to hopefully fall out when I was 3 centimetres dilated. And it fell out 18 hours later. So yeah, we just spent that day. It was actually really nice. We're like, oh, it kind of feels like we're in a hotel, because they just left us to it and we just like hung out and went for a walk in Maine, and like, you know, because we wouldn't have the big kids with us, so it was actually like a really nice fun day. So it was cool. So yeah, 3 a.m on the Friday morning is when it fell out. So from there, nothing sort of, you know, there was no contractions happening. So I was basically told that I would just have to wait until they could get me into a birthing suite, because there was a big queue for the birthing suites apparently. So they hooked me up to a monitor just to sort of see what was going on with the twins, and they started to see that with every tightening I had, they thought that Teddy's heart rate was dropping, which was obviously concerning, because if you're struggling with just tightenings, and I was like, oh my gosh, how is this going to roll out? How is he going to cope with actual contractions? So basically that situation bumped me up to the top of the queue for the birthing suite, which was great, because once I got into the birthing suite, they hooked me up again and his heart rate just, there was never a problem with it, never dropped again. So who knows what that was about, but he got me, you know, straight in there, so that was good. And because nothing was happening, they decided pretty quickly that they wanted to break my waters, and then they wanted to give me an hour for contractions to start. Nothing happened. I think the twins were just not ready to come out yet. So they then started me on Symtocin at around 9 a.m. on the Friday morning. Just basically for the next 6 hours, Symtocin just slowly got ramped up and contractions started to get more painful, but I wasn't really dilating that much. Teddy, who is the leading twin, was the leading twin. He was just not really playing ball. He wasn't coming down enough for his head to be pushing against my cervix, which is obviously when my body would have taken over, and they could turn off the Symtocin. So yeah, we just labored on mock contractions pretty much all day. And they would go from being, they would ramp up and then slow down. And then at one point they actually stopped it like altogether, which is really frustrating. They eventually just started to ramp up more and more. And I think at about 5 p.m. on the Friday night, I guess, is when my body took over. I don't know exactly, but I heard about this thing, which is really similar to hypnobirthing. I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's called pain-free birthing.
Yes, yeah.
To be honest, I was like, sounds like, pain-free birth sounds not legit, but I was like, well, if it is a thing, I may as well learn a bit about it and try and practice it because it sounds amazing. I just hadn't dived too deep into it, but I had listened to some podcasts and stuff and got some really great tips. And that really, really helped me. I practiced my free birthing techniques. It was actually a bit of a joke because everyone else in the room was like, as if you can have a pain-free birth. It kind of became a bit of a lull. But for me, it was amazing. Like, I look back and I'm like, did that happen the way it was? Because it really, really helped. I intentionally was just taking really long, slow breaths through each contraction, and I would intentionally just really try and relax my body instead of tensing up. And I would literally whisper to myself through contractions, like, this is okay. This is good pain. Like, you're doing well. Welcome this pain. It's okay. It was so crazy. Like, I was at 8 or 9 centimeters and I was just breathing through some contractions. Like, even the midwife was like, earlier on, she was like, I can see on the screens that you're having a contraction, but you're literally just lying there. Like, I'm getting really concerned that the Symtocin's not working properly. And I was like, no, like, I'm feeling a contraction. Sorry, I'll tell you. I'm trying really hard for my pain-free birth. So yeah, it was really cool because it was a way for me to be really in control in this hospital birth where I just didn't know kind of what to expect. And then obviously, like, you feel the intensity of the contractions, absolutely. Like, it's intense still, but you just don't have that same, like, pain that makes you, I don't know. It was amazing. And I highly recommend. I'm obviously not describing it so great, but if that interests you, definitely look into it because it was amazing.
Yeah.
So I think, it was around 5 p.m. that my body had taken over, and so we were kind of getting ready to push Teddy out. But as I said earlier, you have to be a real advocate for how you want things to be in a twin birth if you don't want to go with their sort of normal procedure of things. And for me, I was really brave, and I really pushed for what I wanted with because I think we went through about 3 doctor handovers, and so I had to explain it to every new doctor. And actually, I was really respectful, which I was really surprised about. They were like, look, it's not what we recommend, but as long as you know the risks, then that's absolutely fine. We want to give you the birth that you want, which was awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Unfortunately, Teddy was born at 7 p.m. on the dot, which is when a doctor handover happened, and so I didn't get to tell this new doctor that came on what my birth plan was, or nobody told him. And so in terms of Teddy's birth, like, we had a beautiful birth with him. It was very similar to Boston Goldie's natural birth. I think I pushed like 4 times and he came out, and it was just, it was really straightforward. But the moment that he was born, pretty much like 50 people rushed into the room. It was so intense. Lights were straight on. Straight, like, prodding my stomach, ultrasound, and just checking what Tulip was up to, and making all these calls like, we can't find the heartbeat. Okay, we found the heartbeat, but she's flipped transverse, and that means C-section, straight away there'll be a C-section. And they weren't like talking to me, like asking me, telling me and then asking me sort of what I wanted to do. They were just, he was just telling staff, like, this is what's going to happen, which I've obviously never experienced before. And he, yeah, he was like, if the baby goes into distress, that's straight under GA because she hasn't had an epidural. If, yeah, if she doesn't turn, then it's just a C-section. But he did say to me, before we had to like go into theatre, he did say to me, if I can, I will try and birth her breech. And so at that point, I just felt really calm and I just felt like, yep, that's going to be the plan. That's what's going to happen. And he said, I can't do it unless you have an epidural because it will be too painful for you. And at that point, I hadn't eaten for 24 hours. I was exhausted. I was just like, yep, let's do it. And so all of a sudden, yeah, there were clipboards in my face. I was signing, being told all the risks. It was so intense, but you know, obviously I just wanted Tulip to come safely, so that, yeah, we just rolled with that, signed it all in. They took me straight to theatre, put my scrubs on. They gave me the epidural, and as soon as it kicked in, he was basically like, okay, I'm putting my hand up now. And he was able to just grab her feet, swing around, and told me to push, which was crazy because I didn't feel anything. And then, yeah, one push, and he managed to pull her out safely, so that was absolutely amazing. She was she was like, she had to be taken straight away to pump some mucus out of her lungs because she was a bit floppy and a bit gray. So that happened, but only for a few minutes, and then she was back on me. So that was absolutely incredible. I was so stoked that that's what happened. I didn't have to have a C-section. And also looking back on it, because obviously that was my worst nightmare, to go into theatre and have an epidural. But looking back on it, A, the epidural was actually real amazing, like taking away all that pain. I was like, wow, what we're talking about. And just like experiencing all the dramaticness of theatre, it was pretty crazy. And everyone was absolutely amazing. They like just took such good care of me, but I just can't believe how fast it all happens. Like, Teddy's born at 7 p.m. and she's born at 7:17. It was just craziness, but she got here safely, and that was the best thing. So yes, and I was wheeled into recovery. Teddy was with Harry that whole time, so Harry stayed in the birthing suite. Luckily I had pumped some colostrum leading up to the birth, and so he was able to feed him that colostrum, which was great. And then he booked Teddy into recovery, and I finally got to feed both of the babies and cuddle them, and it was the most amazing feeling. So surreal. So that's how they were.
Amazing. And what an experience, right? Like, from not wanting to have a hospital birth and sort of feeling like really nervous about that whole experience, and then ending up having like the sort of birth that you wanted with Teddy, and then it sort of just happened how it was maybe meant to happen with Tulip, right? Like, it's nice that you still had a really positive experience.
Yeah, exactly. There's a few things that I would like, maybe when that new doctor came in, if I had, you know, just had the energy to advocate more for myself, you know what's going to happen, but, you know, maybe that meant that Teddy didn't get taken straight off me, because that's the thing that I'm most sad about, is that he had to be taken straight off me. And if I had advocated for what I wanted my plan to be, maybe that didn't have to happen. But then also, maybe, who knows, you know, I could have had to have the C-section. Could have had to go under GA. It's just all, but also the pain-free birthing, I think, that just that whole mindset of accepting what is going to happen and staying really, really calm, I think really helped. Also Tulip to not feel distress. So that's what I'm talking about anyway. Just staying calm is just, it's key. But anyway, everything worked out the way it was meant to, and I do look back on my hospital birth and I'm like, that was overall actually a positive experience, which is great.
Amazing. And how long did you spend in hospital with recovery and with the twins before going home?
So we were really lucky, both the babies. So they ended up weighing 2.3 and 2.2 kg, they were born at 36 weeks and 2 days, and they were both really healthy and like happy little babies. They passed all the prem tests around like blood sugars, and they both latched perfectly, they could feed. That was really lucky. There was no NICU or skibu or anything like that. So very grateful. So we just had to go up to the post-birth suite And actually, I was very naive about the whole hospital experience, because lots of people's experiences that they'd told me was that they generally, if babies are well, or their baby's well, they get discharged after like 3 hours and they go home. And so I thought that that was going to be us. I was like, no, we'll be out of here like the same day that we went in. But I quickly found out that that was not the case at all. And I just think I wasn't mentally prepared for that. And this is going to sound ridiculous, but honestly, the 4 day stay in hospital after was the hardest part of the whole experience. It really got me by the last day. Honestly, I was like crying every 5 minutes, but I just missed the big kids so much. And for me, I told Harry to mostly just focus on them, as we'd only organized one night of childcare due to me being so naive. And so I did most of that hospital stay on my own. Like, Harry would come in when he could, and he also brought the kids in when he could, which was awesome. But I think my body just, like, I was so exhausted, my body went downhill real. And I just got this like terrible like cold cough. I was so congested. So this is TMI, but I was just like coughing up the biggest balls of phlegm. And I was just
exhausted.
Obviously trying to like learn how to tandem feed, and, you know, just all that stuff that came with like the having twins and learning how I look after twins on my own. And yeah, I just wanted to go home so bad. Every morning when I woke up, the first thing I'd ask was, can I please be discharged today? And they're like, we'll try our best. But the ped docs would come in and do their routine checks, and they just kept finding something to keep us in longer, which, like, obviously they're looking, you know, for us and the twins. They want the best start possible for them, but it was just pretty frustrating. Like, they were everything they would pick up was borderline as well. So it was like Teddy had borderline jaundice, so they wanted to keep him in overnight on blue light therapy, which we did. Then Tulip lost weight at their first weigh-in, but it was within the normal range of weight loss for newborns, but nearly at the max amount that they could lose. So it was borderline, and they wanted to keep us in another night, which I totally get why, because they're prems. But it was just, for me, I was like, I just want to go home. But obviously, you know, 4 days is absolutely nothing in comparison to some people's journey. So I'm very grateful for the doctors wanting the best, and for the twins. And honestly, I'm so in awe of mums who have to do long stints in hospitals with their babies. They're just, the strength that they have to carry is just incredible. So yeah, that was our journey. And then on day four, we got to take the twins home and start this new life with four kids.
Yeah, amazing. And how has it been? Like, talk us through taking them home and adjusting to life. With four kids, and what's it been like over the last little while?
Look, the thing for us is we both really built it up in our heads that this was just going to be the hardest thing we've ever been through. It was going to be mission impossible, and we just didn't know how we were going to survive. And so what we found is that it's actually been easier than what we thought, which is great. It's hard, don't get me wrong, but just that, yeah, that's that little bit easier than what we thought it would be. And so, yeah, it's definitely full on. I think, obviously, like, yeah, juggling the two babies, and it's not like you get, you know, with newborns, you just get those long cuddles all day and just really embrace that part of it. Whereas with the twins, it's just so constant juggling between them. Like, you get them both asleep, and then one wakes up, so you cuddle that one, but then the next one wakes up, they need a nappy change, and then it's just constant like that. And so that's been full on. And then obviously the kids transitioning as well. Boston's actually done really, really well, and he just loves the twins. He loves helping me out. Goldie is, however, she's found it a bit harder. She's just at that age, you know, three. We're not only learning how to, like, well, they can't really regulate their emotions in general, but to not have me around, you know, and not being the baby, she's just found that really difficult. There's been a lot more breakdowns going back to kindy. She's found really hard. But all in all, I think we're doing really well. We have lots of family around. I don't know if I mentioned, but when we moved home, we moved onto the same street as my sister, and my brother lives on the same street. And then Harry's parents just moved in around the corner. We've just got this incredible community who are just there at the drop of a hat if we need them. You know, if I need a shower and I need someone to hold the twins, they're just there. So in that aspect, we're just so incredibly lucky. We've had just such great help, and it's made it all really possible to transition well. And what else? yeah, overall it's actually been, it's been hard, but it's been a great experience, and I just feel so grateful. Like, it's just, yeah. I still, like, how is there two? But I'm also like, wow, I am so lucky. Like, it's just, it's incredible that I get to do this all again, but with two amazing, healthy babies. So I just, yeah, I feel so lucky.
Yeah. Amazing. And has there been anything, like, that you've used with the twins in this sort of newborn period that you're like, oh my gosh, everybody has to have one of those, they're so helpful, or anything that you've used, like, in your birth recovery or anything like that that's been particularly useful that you'd recommend to others?
Yeah, sure. So for us, I mean, we like to keep things as simple as possible and just have the least amount of stuff possible. So for us, the essentials have been an amazing pram. We use the Mountain Buggy Duet with, like, a bassinet thing, and that is just, it's amazing. Like, they sleep in there during the day, and I can rock them from, you know, wherever in the house, take them for long walks. Yeah, so that's been great, a really great pram, which I obviously recommend for whether you got a single baby or twins. And then Snuggle Me pods, you know, the cushiony ones that they sort of sink into and yeah, so I think lots of brands do them now, so I highly recommend those. Also, I can just take them around the house wherever, and they just sleep so well, especially in the newborn days. What else? Obviously great front pack. We have two single ones, the Baby Bjorn ones. I just think they're so good for some reason for newborns, so they've just been really handy. And then for twins specifically, we bought a mini monkey double front pack, and yeah, once again, so highly recommend that. The twins love them. If they're both upset, I just chuck them both in. I can feed with them in there, and obviously still get stuff done, and they're super cozy, you know, snuggled up to me, so they love that. And then just a rocker, like a good rocker. We have two single ones, obviously, for the twins, but at this stage I can still fit them in one. Like, we just have those, you know, the ones you can get from Nature Baby, and it's just basically a metal frame with the crochet sort of padding. Yeah. Which you can pick up off the Facebook Marketplace for like $10. And then I just chuck a sheepskin on, and they love it. So I'm just, they're in it right now, and I'm just rocking them. I can be cooking dinner and just have them on the kitchen floor and keep rocking them with one foot and, like, chopping onions with my, you know. So, yeah, I think, honestly, those are the four things that we use all the time and we find so helpful. For breastfeeding with twins specifically, a twinsy, it's called a twinsy breastfeeding pillow, that's been life-saving in the early days. Exactly. I can kind of tandem feed now without a pillow, but when I just want to relax and feel really comfortable, I use that still. And game changer. Definitely recommend that.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time, Charlotte, and your openness and just willingness to share with us. I think it's so nice to hear, like, the differences in your birth stories, but also the really positive theme that's throughout them. And I know there's going to be so many people out there who love this episode. So very grateful for your time and being open to sharing with us. Thank you.
All good. And I hope, you know, obviously I've got a foggy ass brain, so I hope it all comes together nicely.
I'm sure it'll be perfect.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered